Amber Alert.
Okay, lately we've been seeing a lot of these messages.
I know, I'm sure. What's the emergency?
Okay, Pasuk Yud. Let's do another Pasuk. Begas al tagidu. In the gas. Do not speak about this. Now, what do we mean? Gas is the capital of the Pelishtim. Okay, we had that in Dov very often. Well, I'm not sure it's exactly the capital, but it appears to be one of the major centers of Pelishtim. By Golias, Begas, Al Tagidu. Do not talk about it. In other words, when something is so tragic, you tend to be silent. Bocho Al Tifku. Do not cry. Bebeis La Afra. Okay, that's the name of a place. We'll see in more detail in a few moments. Or it can mean also, it's the name of a place. The bottom of Afra, Afar Hispaloshi, roll yourself in the dust. Okay, let's see these two psukim inside. Starting with Pasuk, in the Mitzvah, start with the Pasuk test. Ki anusha makos secha, the Tzana Lema, ki kol achas mi makos shaymrein hoysa ki uva biyoyser. Here, he's addressing, according to the Mitzudos, David Shoimroin. And he says that their pains are extremely painful. Ad asheri his halacha uvoho ad Yehuda. Until it traveled to Yehuda. Now, what does that mean exactly? So, kibir ois nevuchanetza shesanchedev horag v'ibeid v'chila es malchus Ephraim v'ashem loy azoram. It's an incredible insight into the Chorban. Okay, this is something which you don't see this often. What he's saying here is that Nebuchadnezzar had a hero. Who was his hero? Sancheirif. Okay, normally you don't like to hear about that. Normally these people who are extremely arrogant and wicked, they don't want to admit that they were inspired to their wickedness by a predecessor. Did you ever hear of Hitler, Yimach Shemai V'Zichro, that there was someone that inspired him, that he looked up to?
Stalin.
Yeah?
Yeah, that is the commissary in the 30s, the Germans even visited the concentration camps, the Gulag. They were learning how
to... Yeah, exactly. They were learning how to do concentration camps.
But no, that was a technique.
The technique, but not... How to keep the people in the ghettos. They were even working and they were not rebelling. The hunger, which you always mentioned, that one was part of
technique. He learned technique from Stalin.
Yes.
But was he inspired to be wicked from Stalin?
He was predisposed for it.
But did he talk about him? Did he give speeches and talk about his greatness? Obviously not.
No, he was
nemesis.
They were antagonists. Hitler claimed why he started the war against communism. But the underlying was
the same. The wickedness was the same, but he didn't look up to him. Or, I want to imitate him. Let's talk about more recent times. Saddam Hussein. He had a hero. Who was his hero? Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, in his speeches and in his writings, whatever he had, he always would talk about Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah. Nebuchadnezzar was his inspiration. At least that's what he said. Okay, so there are wicked people who look back at other wicked people and use them as a model for their approach to life. So Nebuchadnezzar, we would assume, is so arrogant and so wicked, he would never humble himself to admit that he has someone that he looks up to for inspiration to go in their ways. By tzaddikim, it's just the opposite. Tzaddikim, you're always looking back. Who is your model? Who do you look up to? Who is your model? Like rabbanim. Many rabbanim, not in today's generation, we don't know too much, but many rabbanim in the previous generation, they will look back to the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer, his rabbanis was so successful in what he did. He created almost the model of what it means to be a Rav, to be a rabbi. His technique, I mean, he was an inspiration. So you don't by wicked people, you don't find that. Everyone, they think that the whole world revolves around them. But here he's saying, he's reading this Peshat into the Pasuk. He's saying, Ki anusha makos secha. This expression refers to the pain of of the Malchus of Shomrayim, that their suffering was so great, and it worked. I mean, they were exiled; they didn't exist. Kivoho ad Yehuda. This tragedy is what extended to the tragedy that came upon Yehuda by Nebuchadnezzar. Because Nebuchadnezzar learned and studied and was inspired by the wickedness of Sanherif, which inflicted enormous harm upon Shomrayim. Now, it doesn't say any of this in the pasuk. It's a very novel way of reading the pasuk, but that's exactly what the Mitzvah stuff does. Read the words inside one more time. Return to Lemar. Ki kol achas mimakas Shomrayim. So each one of the wounds of Shomrayim was extremely painful, add to the degree asher hishalcha uva'ah, it traveled, it extended for 150 years. What does that mean, 150 years? Ad Yehuda, ki b'rois Nebuchadnezzar. When Nebuchadnezzar, 100 years later, shesancherif, that his predecessor, a different country, Melch Ashur, harag, v'ibed v'chilo es malchus Ephraim. Three expressions: he killed, he destroyed, he completely obliterated the Malchus of Ephraim, the Hashem lo azorom, and Hashem did not come to the assistance of the Aseres Hashvatim. Loze orav liboy. This is what encouraged his heart to logeshes, to come near lovoy ad al Yehuda. So it's a very, very fascinating interpretation of the pasuk. Is that the events that happened in the Malchus of Ephraim was an inspiration for Nebuchadnezzar not to be afraid and do what he wanted to do to the Malchus of Yehuda 100 years later. It's almost like you have found by Amalek. Reishis goyim Amalek. What did Amalek do? Chazal said they were the first ones to be jumped into the bath. It was like a boiling hot bath, and they were suicidal in jumping into the bath. And that cooled off the bath, even though Amalek was harmed, got burnt by attacking Klal Yisrael. But when a person jumps into a bath, he cools it off for the next guy who comes along. The next guy will not get burnt. So he showed the world that, look, you could attack Klal Yisrael. They're not indestructible. Look, even though he got the brunt, he indeed suffered very. Amalek was wiped out to a large degree, not totally obviously at that time, but he showed the world, look, the Jews are not indestructible. They can be destroyed. They can be attacked. And others came and learned from him. So the same thing over here. That's how he reads Shon the Pasuk. Next, Noga.
It's a little difficult because why didn't he also worry about the fact that
you're right, good point. So he just, there was one battle he lost. But
he lost against Yehuda itself.
Yeah, but that wasn't his problem. He figured he did 10/12 of the job. If he was able to do 12/10 of the job, I'll be able to finish off the rest. He was just not clever enough to know how to do it the right way. He doesn't know. He's a fool, obviously. He's playing out with Klal Yisrael. But nevertheless, the fact is, Sancheriv has done for Klal Yisrael irreparable harm. The Aseres HaShvatim are gone. Okay? And he succeeded in doing that. And that was the inspiration for Nebuchadnezzar. If he can take down 10 out of the 12 tribes of Klal Yisrael, I will succeed in taking down two. And if not for the fact that Sancheriv was able to do what he did, then the way this pasuk is written, the way the Mitzvah studies Dom Shan the pasuk, the Nebuchadnezzar would not have had the chutzpah to try to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. It's only built upon a foundation of Sancheriv succeeding in exiling the 10 Shvatim. You don't hear that. Okay, you don't hear such a story. We're under the impression there are two separate tragedies, and if the Jews would have behaved themselves and would have remained in existence all the way until the time of the Nebuchadnezzar, and then they would have misbehaved, then the Nebuchadnezzar would have succeeded in wiping and bringing the Churban to the whole Klal Yisrael. So now, he didn't need to do it because someone else already did 10 Shvatim. No, he's saying that's not the Pshat. Nebuchadnezzar was a weak person. He was a coward. He was a coward. He wouldn't have done it. He would be afraid to do it. He would be afraid to chap it with Klal Yisrael. It's only because he saw that it was possible to succeed, because Sancheirev, Melech Ashur, did succeed in taking down 10 of the 12 Shvatim. That's what gave him the desire, the will, the impetus to go and attempt to take down the last two Shvatim.
Yeah, that's the history repeats itself. We talked about Holocaust. The Jews were persecuted, but God didn't put in the concentration camps and killed before, when the old other nation didn't want to accept the Jews.
Right, very good. You're saying something very, very good. You're saying that
so
Hitler was...
So it is a green line. It is a green line. And he looks for triggers.
Excellent. You're saying
this
very true.
Similar.
Hitler was very cautious. He looked very at the St. Louis, the ship.
St. Louis, Avian conference in France or in Austria.
Excellent.
And nobody
could care less about the Jews.
England could not only that, close the quota. So
immigration.
Yeah.
He's saying, you're saying very good. All right, the St. Louis. He didn't let him.
That was the final step.
Exactly. So you're saying very, very good. Even Hitler, Yimach Shemo v'Yizkor, was also a coward.
A coward. Yeah.
He was also a coward to go and attack, to go try to take down 6 million Jews.
Yeah.
But then, when he saw that England and the United States and Canada, all the various different situations where Jews were seeking refuge,
asylum.
And no one wanted to come to the aid of the Jews, so he saw, the Jews are not so important after all. And that's what gave him the chutzpah, the will to do what he did. Excellent. And this idea is literally rooted in the interpretation of the Mitzudos David of this pasuk. And the fascinating, it doesn't say this in the pasuk. He really injects a very chunk of information. Ki anusha makoseha kama. That refers specifically to Shoimroin, the Aseres HaShvatim, and that was the inspiration for Kivoho Ad Yehuda. That's what gave the inspiration to go for it to lead that Nebuchadnezzar would now attack Yehuda. Wow! And now, like you're saying, study history and you'll see there's a pattern that all starts with Amalek. Amalek was the first one to cool off the bath, to cool off the bath and to allow other nations to attack, and other nations would have been afraid to do what they have done, only because someone came before them and succeeded, that opened up the door.
Also,
exactly what it says here.
Also from Armenia, 1911, that Turkey wiped out the Christians, pushed them out. Nobody said a word. I had a Syrian boss. He says he's in Aleppo. He remembered those marches. He told me this.
Armenia.
You know, and that's why everybody, you know, is protesting. They're on the college. Turkey, you know, the Turkey, they wrote whatever.
Yeah.
Also, in 1936, when Hitler Rashman marched into Sudan, and nobody said anything. There were orders. I learned that there were orders. Hitler says, stand down. If they come against us, don't fight. He wasn't strong enough. And he saw nobody.
No one cared. Right. Exactly. It's a sad story. Okay, let's go further in the Mitzudos. The next words are Anoga hapur on Nuyos v'hachorb Noga ad ir hamiyuchedesh shel ami. Okay, this poetic repetition. The Choyzer Mefarish ad Yerushalayim ulefisha Micha Hayim Meshevet Yehuda l'chein Amar Shaar Ami. That's what he said. That's why he called it Ami, my nation, because he was a citizen of Yerushalayim. Again, you have this theme that again it appears to repeat itself over and over in the Sefer, is that Micha is unique in that he addresses equally Shoimroin and Yerushalayim. His nevuah is not limited to one malchus. His scope of Klal Yisrael is complete. He's saying over prophecy that it applies to both the malchus of Yehud and the malchus of Yisrael. Pasuk Yud in the Mitzudos Begas Al Tagidu Gasi Mi Arya Plishtim is one of the capital cities of Plishtim. The Amar Al Tagidu Shama Mi Goydel HaChorben. Do not speak there about the greatness of the Chorban. The Altif could explain in one moment. Be Yoischem Shama, Ki yismichu ala churban v'ala b'chiyah. Don't tell the people in Gas about what has happened to Yerushalayim, because they will gloat. They will gloat and they will cheer. They'll clap. Don't let them know about it. And now, in those days, it was before there was a social media, so they couldn't. They wouldn't know. If you wouldn't tell them, they wouldn't know. Don't let the Palestinians, the real Palestinians, the Pelishtim who are located in Gas, do not let them hear about the Churban of Yerushalayim. What is over here? Of course they're going to find out. What is the Pasuk saying? Micha saying, don't tell them. Come on, you can't suppress information. The free press, the media will get to you whether you like it or not. Omar came to Melitas Hakina. It doesn't mean literally, it just means it's an expression of grief. It's an expression of grief, is don't tell our enemies. Our enemies know, just the way it's saying is, oy vey, they're going to mock us, they're going to cheer. V'chein al tagidu v'gas, we have in Shmuel, b'beis la'afra. Afra is also a city in the Pelishtim. B'chol bayis, mi'botei ir afra, his galgali b'yofar derech avelos. In this city, he connects the two parts of the pasuk, you shall roll on the ground. You shall roll on the ground in mourning. The city is called Afra. But Afra literally means dust. You roll on the ground. Afra Shemov. Afra Hiskalgli, roll on the ground in this city. Okay, so this is the similar interpretation of these two psukim. Let's see. Rashi, Pasuk Tes and Yud. Rashi, Ki Anusha Makoy Secha. Ki Choylechi B'Makoy Secha. K'mo Vaye Onash D'Shmuel. The word Anusha, It's a fairly common word. It means illness. It means to be sick. It means, it's used in Tanakh pretty often, it means to be sick. Choyla. So here it's Ki Anusha Makoy Secha. She is sick due to her wounds. Is that really what the Mitzvah David said? No, not really. He said the word Anusha means pain. So we have a difference of opinion. Does it mean pain or does it mean ill? It's not the same thing. A person can be very weak. Lying in bed, you can't move yourself, but you're not necessarily in pain. Okay, so two, it's obviously they're related. Next words of Rashi, Begas. Okay, he goes into Pasuk Yud Aleph. Let's read another Pasuk. Okay, let's go back and read one more Pasuk. Ivri Lochem Yesheves. Ivri Lochem. Go away. Ivri Lochem means pass away. Yesheves Shofir Area Voishes. Okay, let's right away see the Mitzugos David Pasuk Yud Beis, this expression. Ivri Lochem, Ata. I'm sorry, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Mitzugos David. Ivri Lochem, Ata Ha'eda, Ha'yoshev Espir Shafir, you the assembly that lives in this city of Shafir. Okay, it's the third city here. We have so far Gas, the city of Afra, and now we have a third city called Shafir. Ivri Lochem Agoyla, go into exile. Begilui beis haboishes kiderech hagoylim, naked. Okay, the people who live in the city of Shafir, you're going to pass area voishes. Area means naked. Voishes means embarrassed. So that means over here that it's normal to be embarrassed when you're naked. Unfortunately, in this country, some people don't know that. Okay, that's a problem. That's a problem. But in ancient times, it says that the area of Vayishas, lo yotza yesheves tsa'anon. Okay, further. Ivri lochem, go back to the Mitzudos David. Bagol bilves abayishas, kider chagoylem. Vegam olosh naifel al loshon, ki shofir hu inyan shilya hayoytzei meirechem o isha be'es haleida. Okay, the word shofir, even though it's the name of a city, but also refers to the place, either there's a shofir, there's the shilia, the shofir and the shilia. Okay, this is either the placenta or the afterbirth. It's the sac, the embryonic sac. I don't remember the different parts of matter which come out.
Amniotic
sac that surrounds the child in the mother's womb. And then there's also the placenta, which is the afterbirth. Okay, so that one is called the shafir, one is the shilia. They're both related. And here it says, Ivri Lochem Yesheves Shafir. Here it's literally the name of a city, but also it refers to this amniotic sac and the afterbirth, which alludes to the nakedness of a person. Because when a person comes out in the amniotic sac with the afterbirth, the child is naked. So that's what he means over here. Ki shafir hu inyan shilya hayoytze meirechem u'isha be'es haleda lo yotza. Lo yotza yoshev es tzanon. Batchilo galu anshe be'es ho'etzel. He's referring to Pesukim in Yeshaya. Originally, the first ones to go into exile were the people of Eitzel. Eitzel. V'ivru, and they passed Derech Tzanon. Tzanon is the name of a place. Back in the next page, B'kol Mispeit, page 456. B'kol Mispeit. As they passed through this territory, they were crying. The Yoshvei Tzanon, lo yatsu l'mispad beiso Eitzel l'nachamam. The people of this city did not come out to sympathize, to commiserate with the exiles. Now this is very interesting. Why not? Because they knew it's just a matter of time until this day would meet the same fate. So it's a very interesting insight. And sometimes you have a taina. Why didn't they sympathize? So here it's saying the reason why they're not having sympathy is because we're next. We have our own problems. V'gam zehu losh nevla losh ki yotza of it sanon, the word yitzia and sanon k'roivim baloshayin. Okay, let's go further. Yikach mispad beis ha'etzel, yikach mikem em dosoy. What do those words mean? The mitzvah of it says, hinei heim amdu b'mukaymam, they stood in their place. The word em dosoy means they stood still. They did not come out to give comfort. The enemy will come and take down every person. It will be pleasing in their eyes that you should go into exile as well. So let's now review the pasuk in its entirety. It's a hard pasuk, and then we'll see Rashi. So pasuk Yud Aleph, back on page 454, says, Ivulachem Yesheves Shafir. Now, it appears the people over here were describing the people, the Jews. Whereas, in Pasuk Tes and Pasuk Yud, we mentioned Gas, and we mentioned Afra in Pasuk Yud. Gas and Afra are enemies. Cities of the Pelishtim, where our enemies live, and they are rejoicing. They're gloating over our tzaras. So do not let them know that we are suffering. Now in Pasuk Yafa, when we mention the cities, we're discussing Jewish cities. Cities that are inhabited by Jews. And we're saying here, Ivru lochem yosheves shafir, area voishes. The people who live in Shafir, you will pass through the land naked. And you will pass, and on your way to Ashur, you're going to be relocated to the land of Ashur. And as you pass and you travel, you march naked to the land of Asher, you're going to pass through the land of Tzanon. I don't know where this is. Maybe it's part of Eretz Yisrael, maybe not. And in Tzanon, there are people living. It doesn't really tell us if they're Jews or not, at least not according to the Mitzvah Stavit. Because we have to remember that Ashur did not, Sancheiriv did not just exile the Jews, he exiled the entire world. Every country was relocated. So you were going to pass through the land of Yosheves Tzanon, and the Red Cross or the people is not going to come out to greet us. We're going to Loyotsu Yosheves Tzanon. The people of Tzanon did not come out to look and to observe the people of Shafir as they passed through the land. They did not come out to Mispad Beis Eitzel. They did not come out to mourn the people of Eitzel. Eitzel, as we said in the Mitzudos, was the people living, or another expression. The people of Shafir is one city. And then there are the people of Eitzel also passing through. Why not? Because, now this is where the Mitzudos Dovin injects his interpretation, because they know that they are next. And therefore they're just depressed. And what's going to happen? Yikach mikem emdoso. Ultimately, Sancheiriv will take those people who are in Eitzel and the people who are in Sa'anon, they will, Sanche will take them from their positions of where they stand and will exile them as well. Okay, so this is a very frightening, complex description of what's going to happen to the people of Shafir, the people of Shafir and the people of Eitzel as they pass through Tsa'anon and as they pass through as they pass through these very different lands. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk, back to what we're now up to Pasuk Yud and Yud Aleph in the Rashi. Begas al Tagidu. Do not tell the people in the Pelishtim about the tzorois of Klal Yisrael. Why not? Penyismichu lanu Pelishtim, they're going to have too much joy over our tzorois. Bebeis la'afra. Of Ras Aviv Ezri. So what does this mean? This means the name of a place. Ofras, the father of Ezri. So it appears that the city was named after this person. Okay, so I guess it's a name of a location. Ofar his baloshi. Roll yourself on the ground. L'shoy noif l'aloshan. V'chein yosheve shavar area ba'yishas v'chein lo yotza yosheve sanon kulam l'fi shem hu'ir l'shoyin hakina. Okay, we have a lament, and we're being poetic. We're describing different cities, and we're taking the shoresh of the name of the city, and we're finding a verb, and we're poetically describing the degree of mourning. The word hispaloshi means hisgalgili. It means to roll around on the floor. Pisroinoi lefi in yonoi, his afri. And here in this context, it means roll on the earth. Go get down on the ground, roll around on the earth as if you're in a state of mourning. Ivri lochem, hischir b'losh nyechidis, nikeva kibedaber el kinesia so'ir. This is the collective noun. Okay, with speaking of b'losh nyechid, kumosh amar yosheve shafir, kulam b'shem kinesia achas, all in one term, the Amar Lochem, Kimidabel Ram, like he's speaking to the Tzibur, Sharei L'Ram, Hu Eimer. So we mix up over here the Loshen Yachov, the Loshen Ram, because we're describing everyone together. Yosheve Shafir Shemoir, Er Yevoishes, Giluyas Beis Haboishes, naked. Kasher Nikre Shafir Shehun Sheneifel Alitshayetz, Sheyoitz, Sheyoitz, Meirach Mashal Isha. Just like when a woman gives birth, the child is naked. We're referring over here to a person's birthday suit, right? Isn't that the expression? So the shaf of the shilya represents nakedness. Lo yatsa yosheve sanan, lo yipkun mi shezvin mi yosve sanan. The people, the settlers, did not come out to. They did not come out. What does it mean, mi shezvin? The lo yatsa lo yipkun. What's it means? Anyone with a word? I'm not sure. Meshezvin miyasim means the yosheves, and yipkun means lo yatsa. Meshezvin. I don't know what that means.
To save.
Ah, okay. It means to save. So lo yatsa meshezvin miyasve tzanon. Okay, did not come out to save them. Is that what it means? That they did not come out meshezvin saviors miyasve tzanon. No one came to rescue the exiles. No one came to stand up in their defense. Next words.
It was no great battle.
No. They were just exiled. Exiled in a very disgraceful way. That's what we learned. We learned many times. There were three waves of exiles. Obviously, we're referring to the third wave of exile, which was done in a very disgusting way. And what's very, very horrific, this we've seen this many times, is they marched naked. They marched naked from Eretz Yisrael to Ashur. Okay, it says that many times. It's a very disgusting thing.
Why didn't that? I mean, I'm just asking. I mean, any country, I mean, you would stand up and fight. I mean,
no, so that's what this pasuk says, because all of the other countries recognize their next. You see, this is something very interesting.
Why did they fight for themselves?
They couldn't because they were so overwhelmed. That's the question. They were like sheep. That's the question. They all argue on the Jew, on the 6 million people.
So
how could 6 million people go like sheep to the slaughter? Why didn't they stand up and rebel? And the answer is, you would have been no different. Okay, the terror and the technique of the Nazis, Yimach Shem V'Zichrom, was so overwhelming. What?
They conned them.
Everything. It was done with a lot of chokhmah.
Yeah.
It was done with psychological techniques and starvation. There was a lot of different techniques employed to make sure that a few can overcome the many. This is the curse. The curse is the rabbim biyad ma'atim, against us. This was the curse. That's what it says in the Teichacha. That 100 people, I've got the exact words, will be run away due to a few. When there's a bracha, you can have one person who can chase 1,000. Rachmona litzlan, when there's a klala, you have a few people who are able to terrorize and to destroy only a few people. That was the klala of the Holocaust. That the number of Nazis were able, how could it be that such a small fraction of people can succeed in killing 6 million people? Why couldn't 6 million people get up and defend themselves? Well, you try it. If it would have been you, it would have been just, it would have been even worse. Okay, it would have been even worse. And that question is not a fair question. I remember years ago when I was very little, they used to talk about that a lot. I haven't heard that conversation in a very, very long time. But that used to be a very, very popular topic of conversation is, how could it be that the Jews went like sheep to the slaughter? 6 million people were not able to overcome whatever it was, the number of Nazis, a very small number of Nazis.
It and was this, also the Polacks, the Ukrainians.
Of course. It's not a question. It's just an anti-Semitic question. It's like the Holocaust denier. It's just another nasty expression of anti-Semitism to ask that question, because if you study the situation, we didn't stand a chance. Okay, the techniques and the terror and v'chulu was overwhelming. The only major uprising was the Warsaw Ghetto. Okay, that was the only one. Ishna, there were others. There were many other uprisings. What?
Group of partisans. I knew a few of them. They said more they were killed by other Polish partisans than by the Germans. The only thing the Belsky partisans survived because the Polish partisans and the Belsky partisans fall under the auspices of a Russian general. And the Russian general was, or maybe he was Jewish, or was sympathetic to Jews. So he divided the sphere of influence by the partisans. Because only that how they survived, otherwise they couldn't survive. Then the populace was encouraged to kill Jews by a few Germans. Into Hungary came in 240 Nazis. In 1944, and they sent out in 2 months, 3 months, almost a million Jews.
It's not real. The numbers are not real. Okay, so this is a klala. It's not much a klala, but people who ask this question, it's coming from anti-Semitism. It really is, because when you study the facts, and you realize that's the way it is. That's the mitzvah. When you give an army weapons of mass destruction, and they have the support of the population, of the government, of governments, the Polish government, that's the whole argument. We didn't do anything. We were occupied by the Germans. Baloney, you weren't occupied. You were partners. You were full partners with them. Don't tell me you were overtaken. The government was in exile. Yeah, right. Was in exile. You willingly contributed to the extermination of the Jews. And this is the mitzias. This is a terrible korban. Now, one of the big this is a very important point. Makes over here. It doesn't say over here the people of Eitzel, are they Jews, are they not Jews? So this is a very big nisoyon in korban. Now, what do I mean by this? When Sancheiriv exiled, the Aseres HaShvatim. See, we are very, I don't want to say the word narrow-minded, but sometimes we only focus on ourselves. We become very insular. Sancheiriv didn't just destroy Klal Yisrael. Sancheiriv, he uprooted the entire world. Every culture, every civilization, every nation was conquered by Sancheiriv. He relocated the population of every country in the world. So an observer can say, a Jew from a secular standpoint can say, this is not an act of God against the Jews. It's like there was an earthquake. It was meant to be. There was an earthquake. The Hashem, when he created the world, there was a biological clock, and the time would come when the volcano would erupt. A time will come when the plates on the bedrock will shift, and there will be a natural disaster. Sancheiriv didn't have anything special, any special hatred for the Jews. He conquered the whole world. So the Jews also were a victim. The Jews also, if the economy is not good for the Goyim, it's not good for us either. If in America there's a recession, so there's a recession for the Orthodox Jews as well. What's everything is about us? Sancheiriv conquered the entire world, so he conquered also the Aseres HaShvatim. He took them to another location. Who says that the Ribbono Shel Olam is coming to select Klal Yisrael? The Navi is telling, you're doing Averos, and the enemy is coming for you, not coming for us. This is a world event. That's a very big Nisayon. It's tremendous. So we don't appreciate this because we never really taught like this. We're always looking at the world in a very, we think we're very broad-minded, we're very sophisticated, cosmopolitan. We're all very narrow-minded.
During World War II, there was terrible suffering of the Goyim.
Gypsies, how many gypsies were killed?
Now besides that,
right. The whole world, 50 million people.
20 million Russians died.
Between World War I and World War II, how many people died? 50 million people, is that correct? Something like that? I mean, the numbers are staggering.
It was terrible suffering all around. I mean, we were much worse. We were worse, but it was
how many gypsies were exterminated? So it's a very, very big Nisayon, this approach. And what is the answer? The answer is everything, we have to have emunah. Everything in the world revolves around Klal Yisrael. And Baruch Hashem, we're brought up in that we have a healthy hashkafa, and that's right, that leads us to completely ignore the whole world and focus on us, because that's the truth. Maminim, b'nei maminim, that's the emes. But if you don't have that emuna, it becomes a very big challenge. It's nothing to do with us. It's nothing to do with us. Let's have more sympathy for someone else. But the truth is, we really know when we study World War II, you study Hitler, the hatred he had for a Jew is just beyond belief. He didn't have any hatred. He had hatred for the whole world, obviously, the evil person. But the hatred that he had for the Jew is just beyond, off the charts, of the hatred he had for the gypsies, hatred he had for the Russians. Hatred he had for anyone. What?
The last few months he could afford.
Yeah. Exactly. The proof is in the pudding. The proof. I mean, it's clear as day. But the revisionist, someone who comes along and wants to go write a commentary on history, can just brush away all of these facts, and can just look at the big picture. And the big picture is there was a chaos in the world, and the Jews were just a victim like anyone else. That's sheker. That's cool as sheker. What?
Totally, yeah. I mean, Roosevelt said, it's not a Jewish war. But meanwhile, when they freed the camps, and they saw the horrors, it was a Jewish war.
It was a Jewish war. And revisionists today will say that it wasn't, they'll just ignore it, they'll say, no, it was chaos in the whole world. Klal Yisrael kol ma, everything that happens, I don't have the Gemara Chazal on my tongue, on the tip of my tongue, but Chazal say, every event that happens in this world is a message for Klal Yisrael. Bini b'choiri Yisrael. We were the only nation that was makabel the Torah. not Abbas Achena, we're the only nation, B'nivu Chari Yishol, Asher Bochar Banu Mikol Ho'amim, V'nosan Lanu Es Torah Asai. This is critical to understand world events, to understand history. See, historians, when they're missing, you can write history from a million angles. Every event, you could have 100 interpretations. Take current events. Go what happened today in the news, and you go listen to the Arab. Just go see a mashal. It's just fascinating how you can interpret every single event. And you can twist it, and you know something. They're all right in a certain way. You go listen to the Arab media. You go listen to how they're reporting the news in Turkey, how they're reporting the news in Venezuela, and how they're reporting the news in Europe, how they're reporting the news in New York. Everyone has a different twist. And the truth is, they're all right. They're all the Zemes. But when your perspective is from the point of view of Klal Yisrael, everything changes. Everything is very, very different. The whole interpretation of history is very, very different. Here, look what's happening in this pasuk. Here, the Jewish people are being taken, they're going into Galus. They're going into Galus naked. The people of Shafir have been stripped naked, and they're marching through the land of Tza'anon. And then we have the people marching through Eitzel, the same people marching through Eitzel. And the people of Tza'anon are not coming out to greet the Jews, and they're the humanitarian cause. Where's the Red Cross? You know why? Because the Red Cross is next. So that's what it says. Because after Sanhedrin finishes with us, he's coming for them also. I don't care, you're the Red Cross. You're my enemy. I'm coming for you also. So the people of Eitzel, they just saw in front of their eyes what's going to happen to them. These are not Jews. These are not Jews. These are Goyim.
There was also a priest that said something like that, or a minister. And then first he came for the rich people. Then they came for this. Then they come
for me. There was no one else. Then they came for me.
So this is exactly what it says over here. Now, this leads us, it leads into this Nisayim. Here we go. We are traveling through the lands of the non-Jews, and no one's coming to help us. Why are they not coming to help us? This is very different than what we're accustomed to today. Why? Because those nations say, we really would help you. We don't know if it's true or not. The anti-Semitism would come. See, it's nice to be able to blame someone. It's always a nechama in life. Today, everyone's coming to blame. Everyone is very frustrated. They're bitter. They have problems. So how do they vent? They vent. It's my kindergarten teacher who didn't smile at me. Okay, it's my parents. It's my parents. I was abused. I was abused. I was. Really? That's why I have all your problems? Really? Maybe sometimes it's true. I'm not denying that it's not true in many situations. But many people just join the bandwagon. Oh, if he can go say, me too. Right? Me too. You have to live a perfect life, right? No one's allowed to say boo to you. No one's allowed to go and say someone's a bad word to you. So now you have to come forward and blame all your whole life problems. Okay, some people really suffer. I'm not denying that. I acknowledge people really are mentally damaged due to what happened to them. But not everyone. And some people are just taking advantage. So it's very refreshing. But it's a way to vent, to blame someone. But when you got no one to blame, then it's very frustrating. So we would love, think about it, we're passing now, the Jews are being exiled. They're passing through the non-Jewish lands. They're going from Yerushalayim, from the Aseres HaShvatim to Ashur. They're passing through non-Jewish countries. It would be wonderful for us to say, come help us. How come you don't want to help us? Ah, you're anti-Semites. You're Soine Yisrael. You're Shoyim. You're Soine. That would be a Chatzi Nechama. If we would be able to go and say, ah, you're a bunch of Rishoyim, Esav Soine Yaakov, it would help. It really would help. But guess what? You can't say it. The reason why you're not coming to help us, we can't say because you're Soine Yisrael. It's because you're in the same boat as us. You're next. You're next. You're next on the chopping board. So we look at ourselves and we say, who is there to blame then? We can't go say the Son of Israel. we have to start thinking. Maybe we deserve it. Maybe we have to make a cheshvan nefesh. But then you say, no, it's nothing to do with our averos. It's a world calamity. It's you know, the stock market went down. It affects everyone across the board. It's a global economy. So we have to go make a cheshbon hanefesh is due to our averos. There's always a yetzer hara. There's always a nisayon. Even when you're staring the malach hamavis in the face, you're not going to blame him. You're going to blame something else. This is part of the nisayon of life. Even when it comes to a tzara, you can't. There's always the yetzer hara. No, it has nothing to do with your averos. When a person is matzliach, certainly he has the nisayon. You know, koichi v'yoytzem yodi osliachayel hazeh. It's not because the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not because of you, Hashem. The reason why I'm successful is because I'm successful. The time has come for me to be successful. It's not you, the Ribbono Shel Olam. But even in a time of tzara, there's no one I can blame. And then the soyin and the soyinus and all different angles. That is what is coming out of here to at least to a small degree. No one is coming out to save us. The next was the Rashi, part on the next page 456. Misbad beis ha'itz likach mikem emdosai. Now, what does this mean? We learn from, but let's see how Rashi says it. Hamisbad sheg ramtem la nig zolim. The eulogy that has been caused. That has been caused la nigzalim of the people that have been robbed. Shehayisem goizlim nachalosam kedei lahagish bayis bebayis v'sade v'sade ze eitzel ze hu yikach mikem emdosai. Let me just read the words and we'll come back and explain what he means over here. Maimid ha bin yonim shebenisem, the structure that you have erected v'maditem al nachalosam. And what has established you. So let's explain. He's coming here saying something very sophisticated. He's not translating here the Pshuta Shel Mikra that Eitzel means the name of a location. Okay, that's the Pshuta Shel Mikra. The Rashi is telling Eitzel is a code word for a Pasuk in Yeshaya. A lot of Micha is coming to parallel Yeshaya. Okay, Micha and Yeshaya, I think, overlap. They live at the same time. Okay, they lived at the same time. And Yeshaya says some very, very powerful psukim, and Yeshaya accused the Jewish people of being ganovim. And what did they do to be ganovim? They would steal territory, and what they would do is they would be magish, lahagish, bayis, babayis, Visode Bisode. Now I really forgot the whole sequence of events, but they had very sophisticated ways of acquiring property. What they would do is that they would steal something like you have a sode, and then you would steal a field on the opposite side, and in between there was another piece of territory, and then you would claim Dina the Bar Metzra. You would claim that since I own the territory over here and the territory over here, Mimela, I'm entitled. I don't remember all the details. Maybe we'll see the Mufash, and then they say over here. We have to come back to this, but they engaged in extremely unethical conduct to steal territory. What? They abused halacha. They abused halacha to. There are techniques in Shulchan Aruch where you win. But in order to enter into that simon in Shulchan Aruch, you have to be in the right position. You have to do other things to get there. So they engage. You can be a big Talmud Chacham, exactly. You have to engage in activity. You have to engage in unethical activity, behavior, in order to abuse the halacha so that you can expand your sadeh. You can take someone else's sadeh and incorporate it within your sadeh. You can expand a lot of your bias, eitzel bias. So let's just right now for the moment make it very simple because I don't know what it means, but there's a pasuk in Yeshaya, which there the Mefarshim elaborate, and they call bias, babayis, v'sadeh, v'sadeh. People would steal territory. And they would do so by bringing it, eitzel zeh, one near the other. your house is near my house, so let me swallow it up. Rashi here says the word beis or eitzel is a code word for this technique. You would bring another bias near your bias as part of a technique to acquire, to overtake it, to steal it. So the reason why the pasuk over here is telling, according to Rashi, there's a drush, a homiletic interpretation of this end of the pasuk. The pasuk is coming to tell you the reason why you are suffering this tragedy, that you're going into exile by Sanherith and being marched naked to Ashur, is because you are thoroughly corrupt. You have engaged in extortion. You have engaged in outright theft of property. So he says the misbad, in other words, the misbad, beis or eitzel, misbad here means the loss. I think here he's trying to say means the loss, or let's say, in other words, misbad means the tragedy. The tragedy of the corruption of the Jewish people in this, that they engaged in beis or eitzel. They brought one bias near another bias. Sodeh b'sodeh, bias b'bias, which we have to come back to in a few moments and see exactly the technique that they used to bring one home near another home, to steal territory. Because of this tragedy, that is why you're going to suffer. Yikach mikem emdosai. You're standing in the world. This, that until this point of time, the Jewish people had an amida. They were stationed in the Nachala of Eretz Yisrael as being a nation with autonomy and having their own maimud, is now going to be taken away from you. It's going to be taken away from you, your territory, your Nachala on the land, because of the crime, because of the misbad, which we're going to loosely translate the tragedy of beis or eitzel, of corruption. All of these are code words. So if you read it backwards, Yikach Mikem Emdosai. Mikem, the subject of Mikem, means the Jewish people. Yikach, it's going to be taken away from the Jewish people, Emdosai. They're standing in this world. They're chashivas. The kavoy, the honor of the Jewish people. Why? Because of misbad. Because of the tragedy, beis or eitzel, of your corruption. Okay, that's a very different interpretation than the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos learned, very simply, there's a place in the world called Beis HaEitzel, and the Jews are now marching naked through this land. And as they march naked through this land, we have to add two more words. We have to go back to the beginning, middle of the Pasuk, where the Pasuk says, Lo Yotze'ah. The word lo yatza'ah is repeated according to the Mitzudos David twice. It says in the Pasuk, lo yatza'ah yosheves tza'anon. And then again, we repeat the words, lo yatza'ah misbad beis or eitzel. The people of Eitzel did not come out to eulogize, to mourn, to commiserate with the Jewish people. And the Mitzudos David then has to inject into the Pasuk, why not? Because, well, why not? Because, the next words, because Yikach Mikem Emdosa. Because you're next. You're next. According to the Mitzudos David, the subject of the words Yikach Mikem Emdosa are the nations of the world who were witness to our Churban. They did not come out to commiserate and mourn with us, and to assist us, and stand up to us. You know why? Because they, in their minds, it's Yikach Mikem Emdosa, because we're next. Because Sanherev will take from us, Mikem, from Mikem means from you, the nations, this is the thing in their mind, our standing. So why should we commiserate with you? You should commiserate with us, because we're just as pathetic as you are. And that is why lo yotzo yosheves tzanon. The people of Tzanon did not come out to look at us. And lo yotzo beis ha'etzel, to commiserate and be mispad and to eulogize. Because in your mind, you are aware, yikach mikem emdosai. That's the mitzudos. Yeah. But again, Rashi says that's not the pshat. Rashi is much more homiletic. Beis ha'etzel is not a place. This is a description, a code word to describe the corruption of the Jewish people. How they would cleverly use Shulchan Aruch to expand their territory to bring a Sadeh Eitzel Sadeh and a Bayis Eitzel Bayis. And because of that corruption, you're going to suffer Yikach Mikem Emdasa. You're going to lose your Chashivos in the world. You're going to lose Eretz Yisrael. Yeah?
The attitude that it's soon going to happen to me also is really a wrong attitude.
Correct, but you can't blame a person,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I understand. But the attitude should be, you know, I might be in the same boat as you, but right now I can help you. I'm pleased to help you.
Correct, yeah, correct.
It could be that...
Correct. In World War II, we didn't look at it like that. You never ever hear this argument in World War II, where Jews, they say to them, how come you didn't help us? So they say, we can't help ourselves. So what do you want from us? Why should we help you? You never hear that, because the attitude most of the time was, we're independent. It's not going to happen to us. Not going to happen to us. We're safe and secure. We're not going to suffer. So if that's the case, so why don't you help us? Oh, because you're a partner in the crime.
Well,
because you hate us.
Did help.
What?
There
are people who help. That's right. There are. Yad Vashem. It's. I mean, all the what? There were goyim. Plenty of goyim. There were plenty of goyim that did incredible things. Plenty of goyim. Yad Vashem. It comes out more and more.
My neighbor, a woman, passed away about a year ago. She had own property in Poland. Polish goyim that worked for her hid them on the floorboards for 14, till the end of the war. They hid 14 people. And so at the end of the war, this woman gave them their property, and she looked to be in her late 80s.
Wow.
So, Ruch Hashem. So there are stories.
100%. Absolutely. The Chassidei Umay Sa'olam. Chassidei Umay Sa'olam, and all covered to them, to Yad Vashem, to giving them covered. And to recognizing these people, what they've done to save Jews, it's very noble. They risked their lives. These are Bnei Olam Haba. These incredible, incredible things.
So it's interesting.
So you can't judge. But unfortunately, the facts speak for themselves that 6 million Jews are no longer here. And the remaining two-thirds of Klal Yisrael who survived are still mourning and still horrified and still have nightmares from what happened. So and who did this? It wasn't just the Nazis who did this.
Yeah,
it was the world that let it happen. So we're not meichel them. We're not meichel them akiyuzeh, mashu. But we have to acknowledge they were yechidim that were very kind and very generous and were meiser nefesh.
Can you equate some of the corruption that's going on today?
Oh, I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't go there. First of all, I don't know too much about it.
The same thing about what Raji said.
I don't know too much. All I know is that now when they pass this new law, created quite a commotion. This new law, they passed the new law with rent control, and it created quite an uproar in both ways. So a lot of people, I know someone, I have someone, he's my age, and he works, he really, really works, Yoyman Valayli has a business in security. He works in security services. Very sophisticated, and he services many apartment buildings. And really, really works hard, and he doesn't. It's very tight, and after they passed this new law, they basically got a call from many of his clients that we can't afford you anymore. We simply cannot afford to continue the service. It's fantastic. We cannot afford to continue the service. We're cutting everywhere. Everything has to be cut, and he was going out of his mind. So it's not just the people, the tycoons who own the buildings. And there are so many people, Jews and non-Jews, who service. In the news, the media, they're talking about the tycoons who own the buildings, who get the rent. Okay, the lords, the landlords. Okay, but that's not really the problem. Most people don't have much sympathy for them because they have plenty of money stashed away. The sympathy of a people like I know, who works Yom V'Layla, has no day, no night, who tradesmen, and the electricians, and the plumbers, and it's really, and it's the people who service The servers, not the people who own the buildings. They're crying. You know, they're crying. What are you crying about? So some of the people think they're crying because, oh, instead of making next year $10 million, I'm only going to make $7 million. Oh, I'm really sorry for you. I'm sorry for you. So just, you won't be able to go on vacation to the Hamptons for whatever, for Pesach, in a nice hotel. Everyone is writing, but look at the Rachmanis and the people who live in these apartments. So they can't afford the rents. But the real tzara that they're not talking about in the news as much is that you said, and that affects a lot more people, the common man, are the service providers. So it's very, very complicated. People, if you read up on this, it's too complicated for my little head, but it's a very, very complicated thing that's just happened suddenly, sprung upon everyone without any warning. And who knows? So I don't want to go there. It's very complicated. I don't know anything about it. But this is a very... I want to read the Rashi, one more time to have clarity in this Rashi. Mispad beis ho'eitzel yikach mikem emdosai. Ha-mispeid, the tragedy. I'm loosely translating the word mispeid to mean the tragedy. She-giramtem la-nigzolim. That you corrupt Jews have caused your victims. Okay, there's a very great tragedy that you have caused pain to your victims, the nigzalim, the people that have been victimized. Sheheyisem goizlim nachalosam. You stole their territory. Why? Why you steal their territory? Because you want to have a nice big front lawn. You want a sode eitzel, sode bayis eitzel, bayis kidei lahagish. Bayis be bayis v'sode b'sode. Ze, here is the key word. Ze eitzel ze. That's the code word. I'm in the middle of a thought. That's the code word. Beis ho eitzel. Beis ho eitzel means a bayis eitzel, bayis sode, eitzel sode. Misbet is the tragedy. Because of this tragedy that you are corrupt, what's the consequence? Who? The ribbono shel olam. Not Sancheirev. Who's the who over here? According to the Mitzvot David, who is Sancheirev? According to Rashi, who is the Ribbono Shel Olam, Yikach Mikem Emdosai, will take away your dignity in this world. What is the dignity of a Jewish people? They have their own land. Autonomy. They mint their own coins. They live in Eretz Yisrael. They have their Beis HaMikdash. They're free. Independent. No one tells you what to do. Maimud habinyonim, the establishment of the structures, shebinisem, vehemadetem al nachalosam, and what you have put in position upon your land of inheritance, namely the Beis HaMikdash. Beis or Eitzel, and they just translates it means near. So this is a very beautiful homiletic interpretation of these last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, according to Rashi. Very different than the interpretation of the Mitzudos David, that is continuing the Pshutai Shel Mikra, describing an ugly, graphic picture of what it looks like when the Jews march naked out of the land of Eretz Yisrael to be resettled in the land of Ashur, and where unfortunately the horror and the trauma of this event caused them to assimilate and disappear off the face of the earth, at least according to most of the Mefarshim. So two very different interpretations of Mishnah. Tomorrow we will continue.